Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
But the thing about Texas, so they're down there at Austin, and they do this three-hour tour, and they said it was an amazing tour, and they get to the end, and the tour guide says, now, I just want to say, thank all of you all for who are from out of state, you know, visiting the University of Texas. But what I got to say to you is good luck, because 90, and I can't remember what the number was, 97 or 98 or whatever, 90-something percent of our students who go to the University of Texas are from the great state of Texas.
Really?
He's like, not room for most of you, so good luck.
Well, thanks for telling us now.
Yeah, that should have been the front end of the tour. Why don't y'all go have lunch?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Coming up on 12 minutes after 8 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Something I thought the University of Wisconsin system could have done better for some time and is making progress in under the administration of Jay Rothman, who is the president of Universities of Wisconsin, is making it more about our young people who live here, making UW, regardless of campus, more accessible, easier to handle, easier to afford for people from Wisconsin. I think it's great that we have international students who travel to UW-Madison and some of the others as well. I think it's great that we have people from all over the country. It's one of the reasons that I think that benefits young people from Wisconsin who go to UW-Madison and meet people from all over. So I'm not suggesting that that's a bad thing, but UW should be about Wisconsin first. And we're going to get some new information today about how some of these campuses are going to reach out directly to prospective students.
The program is called Direct Admit Wisconsin. And what this program does is it admits high school seniors based on a student's GPA and course completion. So what they're going to do, and you got twins that are junior or going to be seniors. I got my oldest is going to be a senior. We expect these letters at our house here shortly in the next couple of weeks or so that will basically say, hey, Johnny Smith, you can attend this UW school. You can attend those UW schools because of your GPA and course completion. And it would be of, I think there's 10 of them that are all part of it. So like UW-Milwaukee is part of it, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Stevens Point, Stout, Platteville, Whitewater, a couple of the other ones are on this list. They're taking part in this program.
So you're noting the absence of La Crosse, Eau Claire, and University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Those
right?
Three, and they could join next year if they wanted to, but those three have said, no, we're not doing this direct admit thing. So they're taking a pass on it. But all these other schools, Superior is on there, will send a letter to students because of their GPA and course completion saying, hey, you could go here and you don't need to necessarily go through the entire admissions process because you're already admitted if you'd like to attend.
I think it's a win-win. It's a win for the system, then a win for students. I mean, you mentioned, like, does this really change anything for a student? I suppose if I were a prospective student, so you're looking at incoming seniors this year, high school seniors,
mm-hmm, yes.
Right? Maybe they would consider, look, if I already know I'm in, I hadn't thought of going to UW Green Bay, but GB says I'm in, maybe it's at least worth a visit. It might broaden a horizon or open a door that they hadn't considered before,
yeah, right.
Since they already know they're in, as opposed to where you and I have been right now with our young ones. You know, as you mentioned, Eric and I both have, my twins are going to be seniors and your oldest is going to be a senior. You know, we're doing the college tours ahead of the don't know if I'd even get in here.
Right, right.
And so now you can, if you already know you're in, say, all right, well, that's worth a visit.
It doesn't go off of ACT scores or SAT scores or anything like that. It just goes off of your GPA. Now, it does say, though, that a student may need to submit test scores to their selected UW school for scholarships or course placement. So depending on what you want to do at said school, you might have to submit some of this other stuff. I like it. It's a great idea. At least, if anything, it opens the door to start the process for someone who may not even think that they're capable of. I mean, UW-Milwaukee, that's a school that someone may not even consider. And, okay, UWM just sent me a letter saying, hey, you can come here. Why don't you come over and take a look?
And to your point, there's a lot more to figure out for those prospective students, right, and families once you know you're in. then there's the financial aid package. There's the sticker price, and then there's what we can get that price down to. There's the further investigation of, do they have what I'm looking for? All of those things. So no one's suggesting that you get this letter in the mail and you just go sign up. There's part of the process, but I think it definitely streamlines that process. In addition to filling out those applications, it's easier than it used to be. Because now you have, what do they call it, the Common App,
yes,
where you do sort of one essay that many schools can take, since they're all asking you the same thing. So why do you have to write 38 essays? Write one essay and use that for your applications and things like that. So they've streamlined the process, but this further does that for students. And it's stressful. Like, families who have been through this already and us who are in the throes of it, stressful getting it all done, especially since a lot of these young people are involved in stuff.
Of course.
So,
of course.
Well, okay, take a weekend in fall to go visit this school or that. Well, you know, my daughter is in, what are the girls' sports in fall? Tennis? Yeah, girls play tennis, and my daughter's in tennis. Well, we can't go this weekend. She's got tournaments and matches. Kids playing football.
Yep.
We can't go during the football season.
Programs.
Now you're in November.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we got to get moving
on this.
You
start stressing a little bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
It'll be very interesting to hear what happens today with this. There's a news conference being held today by the UW system and with an update on the situation. So I'm not sure what we'll hear today. Try to get some details on this, whether or not it's, okay, here's when you can expect the letters. Here's where how this is going to move forward. They'll change it every year. If a school wants to drop out or drop in to this, it would be next year. Like if Madison said, you know what? We'll send that letter out. They'll do that. I doubt Madison will ever participate.
And in fairness to Madison, the numbers are so overwhelming for how many apply, and they only have room for so many.
Boy, it would be nice, though, to get that letter.
To just know, right? Sure would be nice, right? To waiting until whenever you have to. I think it's interesting, too, you mentioned Whitewater is on there. I mean, how Whitewater has turned things around in the last couple of decades.
Nice campus.
When I was a kid, when I was coming out of high school, it was like, nobody went to Whitewater. I mean, people obviously went there, but that wasn't anybody's, you know, like, oh, I absolutely want to go. I know a ton of kids my kids' age who are going to Whitewater now. They're excited about going to Whitewater. They want to go there, whether it's to play sports and do other things. A couple of programs, business school now is really popular. So just talk about a campus that's sort of changed its story over the last couple of decades.
Trying to think of other states that are similar to UC, like everything with California, they got a system that's pretty big. A lot of different University of California schools and other ones that Illinois is a little bit different.
I've told this story before, but you know, I definitely think a state school system ought to be about that state's students first. And I had my wife's cousins, they had a daughter who ended up going to Tennessee, but I know they were down at, I think it was University of Texas. So is that Austin?
Mm-hmm.
Right, where UT is. So they're down there for a tour because she just had in her head, like, kind of my daughter feels like, I want to go somewhere for school. Like, she's looked at a couple of schools in Wisconsin, may end up somewhere, but she also has this idea in her head of, like, I want an experience and I want it to be outside the state.
And it has to be so, 1,000 miles away.
Right, first of all, you're on a national tour. It's been three big trips, two to the southeast, and my wife and her just got back from Arizona.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds a wee expensive.
Yeah, I said to my wife, I'm like, do we have to say yes to all these? I mean, God bless her. She's worked really hard and, you know.
My kid was in North Carolina. Same thing. I'm like, you know.
I got two words for that virtual tour, right? But the thing about Texas, so they're down there at Austin and they do this 3-hour tour. And they said it was an amazing tour. And they get to the end and the tour guide says, now, I just want to say, thank all of you all for who are from out of state, you know, visiting the University of Texas. But what I got to say to you is, good luck, because 90, and I can't remember what the number was, 97 or 98 or whatever, 90-something percent of our students who go to the University of Texas are from the great state of Texas.
Really?
He's like, not room for most of you, so good luck.
Well, thanks for telling us now.
Yeah, that should have been the front end of the tour. Why don't you all go have lunch?
You do wonder, too, whether or not pricing will end up changing in some fashion, if there'll be, because there's been a lot of discussion about enrollment at different schools. We've seen schools closing, at least some smaller campuses or satellite campuses closing. At what point does that play a larger role into things? Are tuitions going to go down because of this inability to pay for a lot of this stuff when it comes to a lot of folks and different people that are trying to go to school? All that's going to come into play at some point.
Pendulum has to swing back
because
it got so expensive for so long. 8:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Oh, yeah. Back in the summer of MJ Forecast, sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Pretty nice stretch here. We got through the rain. I didn't get any rain last night. But yeah. It dipped just to the south. Need it.
Yeah, I think we missed it too.
Amazing. After all the rain that we've had, doesn't take long for it to
get a little crispy.
I mean, I went from spring through about a week ago to having put the sprinklers out on my lawn twice. And then now it's like, uh-oh.
Man, you used to complain about the rain. Remember them?
So here's what I got for you. High of 75 degrees today. Just a slight chance this afternoon of a shower. And then windows open again tonight. Low down to 62. Wait, 76 degrees is your high on Thursday. And then we warm up to a high of 80 on Friday, 83 on Saturday. Sunday's high back up to 85 with a slight chance of a shower in the afternoon. So today, a couple of big speeches in Washington. I don't have a timing on this. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington this week. He is due to address a joint session of Congress today.
Call it a BB blitz. After speaking to a joint meeting of Congress today, the Israeli Prime Minister will meet with President Biden at the White House tomorrow and travel to Mar-a-Lago Friday to meet with former President Trump. We're told Vice President Harris will also sit with Netanyahu at some point. Security for his speech to lawmakers today will be extremely tight, with police officers from as far away as New York heading down here to Washington to assist Capitol Police.
That's ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Eric, you found at 1 p.m. our time.
Yep, 1
this
p.m.
afternoon
Central is when he's
that address.
Supposed to address Congress.
Netanyahu earlier this week met with families of Israeli Americans whose loved ones are still being held hostage by Hamas. Apparently, Vice President Kamala Harris is due to skip the address due to the optics. You have Democrats divided over the war in Israel. But she is planning to meet with Netanyahu, as you heard Portnoy report today.
How does that conversation go? Because he's also going to meet with President Biden. Right. He's expected to meet with former President Trump. Like, is it like a job interview?
Who's interviewing who?
Yeah.
Right? Well, and it does create a little bit of an issue because, you know, there's only one person who dictates national policy right now in terms of, you know, what's happening in Israel. That's the president. Like, who is the president now? But you know that person is not going to be president in a matter of months. So, right. And how do you balance Democrat, Republican?
And how much do I need to listen to you if you're not going to be in office much longer?
So which meeting is more important, the meeting today with President Biden or the meetings that he's going to have with Vice President Harris and former President Trump?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who are going to lead things into the future. President Biden, meanwhile, is back at the White House.
Why did you drop out of the election?
I love that. Borden Air Force One, and a reporter shouts,
Why did you
drop out? Well, he's supposed to answer that question in a speech to the nation tonight. It will be delivered from the Oval Office. ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
This speech is going to be about his decision to drop out of this race and why he did that, as well as his plans for the rest of his term. A source close to the president tells me that he's been working on this speech for the past day and huddling with his speech writing team at the White House. I'm told that this speech is going to be emotional and coming from the president's heart.
You would hope that it would be largely devoid, and everything is politics when you're dealing with politicians, but it can't be a campaign speech. An address to the nation has a special place. It's why the networks say, okay, when the president says, I need to speak to the nation, they move things around, they accommodate that and whatever. It can't be just an overtly political speech. You have to probably expect that he's going to formally and publicly endorse Vice President Harris for the thing and talk about that, but I'd like to hear more. If he's going to address the nation, tell us why you reached this decision. Tell us how the rest of your presidency is going to go.
And why did it take so long to come to this decision? I mean, how much were the outside factors at play? The donors, those other Democratic leadership positions who were pushing for this?
WTMJ will carry that news coverage from ABC of the president's address this morning. That's at 7 o'clock right here on WTMJ. Who had a better day in Wisconsin? Vice President Harris or Governor Evers?
Ooh. On the Tony Evers excitement scale that goes from holy mackerel and maxes out at heck yes, I am jazzed as hell to be welcoming.
Just a point of order on that. I didn't catch where jazzed as hell falls in the scale.
That would be the highest?
That would be,
right?
He said the highest was excited as heck or whatever.
I am jazzed as hell.
Where is that? Is that in the middle? No, that should be the highest, right?
Kamala
Harris was off the chart.
Before she even got to Wisconsin on Tuesday, had a good morning.
Wisconsin, I am told as of this morning that we have earned the support of enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination.
And then she announced Evers was her VP. I'm just kidding. No, she did not.
Could he is you not imagine? The VP. Absolutely.
He is not the VP pick.
For so many reasons.
That'll likely be one of the other big news storylines here coming up. Probably not for a couple of days. Maybe they'll wait this week out and do it next week, but we'll learn who her running mate will be. She did say during her speech in West Dallas that Badger State obviously very much in play.
The path to the White House goes through Wisconsin.
So history, 2 weeks in a row, right here in southeast Wisconsin in Milwaukee County. We had the RNC last week, and we had the presumed Democratic nominee here for her first campaign stop yesterday.
On that vice presidential pick, it has to be within a couple of weeks, though, right? They have to do that ahead of their convention because they do the formal nominating in early August.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not today or the next couple of days, but pretty soon.
You think before the end of the week? You got president speaking tonight.
I'd do it early next. Let this settle out. They're hitting their stride now. She's going to do the rallies. They're gonna enjoy that bump, spread it out, and then early next is when we say, all right, here it is. They'll get it solidified over the weekend. They call all the people.
And then the former President Trump's campaign, they'll also find some news pegs in there as well because you need to stay in the news cycle. And there's no doubt that former President Trump will find a way to stay in the cycle, too.
He is in Charlotte, North Carolina for a rally today. 8:31 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Who's the CNN reporter you said has spent three days in the pile of bags?
Oh, Isabel Rosales.
She's just on CNN here in the studio, and she's standing by all these bags of luggage
at the airport
that are stranded somewhere with their passengers who knows where due to this IT outage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. For 3 days, she's been on that story.
Yeah, she's been in the bags pile.
The pile of bags.
She does her stand-up, and she's walking amongst 1,000 bags that are all sitting there. Yes, and it's all because of Delta. Delta Airlines experiencing tech troubles again on Tuesday, days after that historic outage, and they cannot get back on track.
This has created a domino effect of cancellations and delays. Between Friday and now, we've seen over 6,000 flight cancellations with Delta specifically, and the DOT estimates that over 500,000 people have been impacted.
500,000. That's ABC's Clara McMichael on the ABC podcast. So they've gotten more than 3,000 complaints, and obviously it's going to take a lot of time to work through that. And now the DOT, they have to look into this, says Pete Buttigieg.
People being on hold for hours and hours trying to get a new flight. People having to sleep on airport floors. Even accounts of unaccompanied minors being stranded in airports, unable to get on a flight.
Yeah, it's no good if your kid is stuck someplace and they cannot find another place. Yeah. And we're hearing from travelers as well.
My flight, it got canceled at 2 p.m., got put back on time, delayed, and I showed up to the gate and it got canceled again.
So many airlines were affected when this all happened on Friday, right? The cybersecurity company CrowdStrike sent that faulty update to more than 8 million Microsoft computers, and everyone was able to get back, but Delta's comeback has been the slowest. Absolutely. I mean, they had hundreds of cancellations again on Tuesday. How is it going to look today? Hopefully it gets better. They are apologizing. CrowdStrike is apologizing. By the way, the CEO of CrowdStrike is going to testify before Congress in the coming days.
He's not going to have a good day.
Not sure what the CEO is going to say. Might get just yelled at. But we do know from the DOT that Delta now, they got to look into it.
We informed Delta today that DOT is launching an investigation into the breakdown of operations.
The airline expects to return to normal operations by the end of the week.
Ball. Sticking with aviation, how about this for a story? How soon until your Uber driver is a pilot? That story next. .849 Wisconsin's Morning News. EAA Air Venture continues this morning, runs through the weekend in Oshkosh. And we talk a lot about the Daily Air Show, so much to see and learn as well about the past and the future of air travel. It's Nerd Super Bowl up there in the best of ways, right? It.
Welcome, nerds.
For Michael Vincent of NASA, best week ever.
This is my favorite week of the year. So I am an airplane nerd. I'm a pilot. I've loved aviation my whole life. And so being at EAA and talking to the flying public is fun.
Really enjoyed nerding out with this guy. I talked with Vincent, who's an associate project manager for system-wide safety at NASA. It's based out of Langley Research Center in Virginia. So NASA has this huge tent set up there with their experts available, and there are tons of them. Tons of people from NASA just answering any questions. They've got a setup for Artemis, the manned mission to Moon, but a bunch of other stuff, and these experts will answer your questions. And if that's not the expert for what you were interested in, they'll go find somebody.
That's awesome.
Like, they're all over the place.
Did you tell them that you've been to space camp?
I seriously thought about it. Well, I used to want to.
I cannot believe you
did. Looked me up there in the space. My son was with me, and I didn't want to embarrass him any further than I probably already do on a regular basis.
Fair
right?
enough.
So we forget sometimes in the NASA acronym, NASA, the second word is aeronautics. So we think of NASA and the missions to space, but most of what they do is outside that realm. Mm-hmm. They're just aeronautics in general, research about air travel and different things. So I wanted to know about a couple of projects NASA is working on right now that actually apply to most of us in consumer air travel, things that could affect us in our lifetime.
When do I get to fly in more stuff as a consumer?
Well, I think it's starting to happen now. It's not going to happen overnight. The biggest hurdle that we see is safety going forward. Because if you step inside an aircraft, the expectation from the public is that you have a high level of safety.
So it's different than other things, because once you put something up in the air, I mean, think about what it is when you get on an airplane now, the whole safety presentation, what they talk about. So think of that level of stuff for anything when we start talking about, how about an air taxi? How about something that picks me up, like an Uber and takes me around? Like, why can't we do that? We have that technology. NASA working on developing that technology further. Probably looks like a super drone. So think of like a little drone, but like massive drone, right? Yeah. Okay. So instead of a car coming to pick you up, the Uber driver shows up in one of those.
So if you're talking about autonomous flying vehicles in the national airspace and widespread adoption, I would say you're looking at a 15 to 20 year time frame. But for something that has a lower level of autonomy, where the aircraft needs more input from a pilot, you're looking at a little bit shorter time frame.
But within the next couple of decades, you're saying it's possible we're flying around up there.
That's cool. Yeah. It sounds dangerous, but...
Well, hence his thing about the safety, right? Other thing I wanted to ask him about is supersonic flight. We're getting closer to that once again as well for consumers. It's been 20 years since the Concorde was flying.
Now, what was wrong with the Concorde? It never really took?
It took-ish, but it was super expensive, super inefficient, and it's also super loud. That is an actual sound of a Concorde on takeoff. So imagine that at Milwaukee Mitchell.
It's over and over and over.
In and out all day, right? All the southeast Wisconsin would have our ears ringing. So there's that, plus there's this. That's a sonic boom from the Concorde. When something travels faster than the speed of sound, when it reaches that threshold,
it makes
that boom. So what's NASA working on? It's the X-59 project, and they're trying to fix that.
It's happening now. There's companies that are building a supersonic transports, and they're just going to sell it to the airlines. And what we're doing with our supersonic aircraft is looking at what the noise levels need to be for that, because these aircraft are going to generate sonic booms, and we need to know what's really acceptable to a widespread swath of the public.
So that's Michael Vincent again with NASA. They're working to turn the sonic boom into what they call a sonic thump. So something that will be quieter, also making the engines overall quieter. Right. And they're going to make this technology. They are now what they've learned and will continue to make that technology available to anybody who wants to use it to work on that supersonic flight. I mean, imagine getting to Florida in an hour instead of 2.5 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're thinking about overseas. Okay, well, what about like professional sports teams? The more and more this idea of going international, that could be intriguing to the NFL or the Major League Baseball league if they're going to consider trying to play more games overseas.
Great point. Yeah, New York to London on the Concorde was under 3 hours instead of 6+. So, right, get the pack and load that thing up at, you know, Austin Straubel Airport there in Green Bay. And you know.
Yes.
Lots to see on the EAA Air Venture runs daily through Sunday, 18 and under, free admission. Gates open at 7 a.m. Tonight, 8 o'clock, one of the two night air shows, the other one coming up on Saturday.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 75 degrees today under mostly sunny skies. Just a chance this afternoon of a shower. And windows open again tonight. 62 degrees, your low.
So you're out on the alternate helmets?
I know that I'm out. It didn't strike me as, ooh, got to have that.
So Packers Internet bloggers are all abuzz this morning because it appears via a Madden 25 preview video, that's the video game, of course, the football video game, shows the Packers in a white alternate helmet. So that it's like a color rush. They'd be in all white, and their helmets would be white also. And this would follow along from another blogger who reported a couple of months ago that this was likely to happen. If you want to see it, just text the word helmet to the WTMJ Talkin' text line, 855-616-1620. So I told Vince about this, and you were kind of like,
meh, I'm whatever. Meh. You know what I like? I like watching football. I don't care what they're out there in.
I don't know. I'm glad that they're trying something different. Whether or not I like it, I don't know. I got to let it warm up to me. But I just try some new
what
things.
What are the reviews there on the text line?
It's been a whole but a meh.
Yeah, see?
It's been, here, I'll let Pat Murphy of your Milwaukee Brewers define what the mood has been on the text line.
I'd say ill-advised.
But what sucks is the arthritic joint pain, right? That's what's keeping you from doing all those fun things, and you don't want to get the surgery. It sucks.
You know what sucks?
You know what sucks?
My shoulder. Eric Bilstead here. You know what sucks?